Welcome again to another segment of the program, In the Beginning. I'm Drew Hanniger, and as a born-again Christian, I've studied the Bible for many years. And today, we want to talk about a particular character in the Bible. One person in the Bible, which to me is such an example of the kind of relationship we need to have with God, and a kind of heart attitude that was just determined to do one thing, and that is God's will and God's intention in his generation. Now, the person we want to talk about today is Joshua. He's a character in the Old Testament, and I don't know if you know the story. Let me give you a little background about Joshua. God had promised to Abraham a land, and that was the land of Palestine. It was God's intention that Abraham and his descendants through Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and all the brethren would live in that land, the promised land, that good land, the land of Palestine, the land of Israel. And so they were there for a while, but then a famine came. And through God's sovereignty and environmental circumstances, Joseph had been taken into Egypt. And again, through God's providence, he was raised up as a ruler. God gave him visions, and he knew a famine was coming, and he made provision. And what happened then was eventually his father and the brethren and so on were able to come down to Egypt and live and not die through the famine. Now, the problem is that they were down in Egypt, and they stayed there for about 400 years. And it was not God's intention for God's people to be in Egypt. And eventually Pharaoh basically put them into slavery. And they were doing all kinds of good things for Pharaoh, building treasure cities and things like that. But this was not God's intention. Eventually, the children of God begin to cry out and say, God, save us. And so listen, God, because they cried out to him, God raised up a man. And that man was the man Moses. Moses was raised up by God to bring God's people out of Egypt into what? The good land. But as you know, Moses only got them as far as the wilderness. And then Moses died. And Joshua was the one to take over, was appointed by God to take over. Joshua was the one that brought God's people out of the wilderness, which was still not God's full purpose, into that good land, the land of Palestine. Now, we want to look at Joshua because Joshua's life and how Joshua had such a relationship with God is very meaningful for us today. Now, before I get into the details of Joshua, let's talk just a little bit, real quickly, and kind of give a bird's eye view of what? Why God created man, and then we're going to see how Joshua fits into God's purpose for man. Now, let's look at the whole Bible from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, with this question: why did God create man? In Genesis 1:26, it says that God created man in his image, with his likeness, and God wanted man to have dominion over what? Over the fish of the sea, the birds, the cattle, and the whole earth, and over the creeping things. And those two words, image and dominion, describe why God created man. God created man in his image, the what we would express God. And God created man with dominion, that we would represent God on this earth. And it's interesting, the list of things that Moses, being inspired by God, wrote there in Genesis chapter 1, it says the fish of the sea, the cattle, and the what? And the birds, forgot the birds. Those three areas, the sea, the land, and the air, cover the three realms on the earth. But God then said the whole earth, and then he said the creeping thing. Why? Because in Genesis chapter 3, something crept in. And that's something that crept in, God wanted man to have dominion over. Then let's jump to the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation. There we see a city in the last two chapters, the New Jerusalem. And that New Jerusalem is composed of all of God's people in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it says that that city expresses the glory of God. That means what? That city expresses God. So that means you and I in the New Jerusalem express God. But also, in there it talks about us reigning as kings for God. So the aspect of image, which is the glory of God, and the aspect of reigning, which is dominion, is also fully portrayed in that city. So God's intention for man is what? Image, to express God, and dominion, to represent God on this earth. Now, we want to talk about Joshua today. And what I want to do is cover 4 points concerning Joshua in the Old Testament. The first point is that Joshua knew the Word of God. And because he knew God's Word, he knew what? God's will. He knew God's intention. He knew God's desire. And because he knew God's desire, he was able to follow the Lord fully. So the first point is what? Joshua knew the Word of God. The second point is that Joshua had a prayer life. And when I say a prayer life, I don't just mean some short little prayer. But Joshua had a relationship with God in prayer where Joshua knew how to bring himself, what? Into God's presence. He knew how to speak with God. He knew how to have a relationship with God himself. The third point is what? Joshua fully followed the Lord. Whatever the Lord spoke, he did. He didn't argue with the Lord. He didn't have a controversy with the Lord. Whatever the Holy Spirit was speaking, Joshua did. And the fourth point I want to speak about is this. For us to be a Joshua, we need to keep our heart clean from any kind of criticism toward others who, and their experience with the Lord, are Joshua's. Now, let's cover these 4 points. So, let's cover this first point about Joshua. Joshua knew the Word of God. And when I say this, how did he hear God's Word? I believe, number one, he probably heard it through Moses. And because he knew the Word of God, what? He had faith. Because he knew what God's desire was, God's intention was, and God's will was in his generation at his time. And that was what? God's intention was for his children, the children of Israel, to get out of the wilderness and get into that promised land, that good land, the land of Palestine. Joshua knew that. And because Joshua knew that, he could be so absolute for what? Absolute to do God's will. It's interesting that Paul in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, makes a very startling statement. He says this, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, sometimes we wonder why we don't have any faith. The reason we don't have any faith is because we don't hear God's Word. That includes reading the Bible and also hearing God speaking to us personally. I believe that Joshua was a person that heard God's Word through Moses. And he knew what was God's will. He knew what was God's intention. It was interesting that Moses had sent 12 spies into the land of Palestine, to spy it out. And unfortunately, 10 of the spies came back with kind of a negative report. And the things that they reported were somewhat true. For instance, they said, well, there's walled cities there and we can't overcome them. And he said, well, there's giants in the land and we just look like grasshoppers in their sight. There's no way we could get into that land. And it's interesting that part of that was true, but part of it wasn't true. But Joshua and Caleb, those two persons, they came back with a different kind of report. They said, we are well able to overcome it. Yes, they acknowledged that there were problems there to overcome. There were cities to overcome. There were people to overcome. But you know what? I believe because Joshua knew God's will. And Joshua had learned from Moses what? That whatever God's will was, whatever God's intention was, if you would just cooperate with God, God would do his part. For instance, Basically, it was impossible for the children of Israel to get out of Egypt. Pharaoh had held them in slavery, and even Pharaoh had repeatedly said, "No, no, you're not going to go anywhere." But still, Moses continued. What did Moses do? He still kept coming back to the Lord, and the Lord said, say this, and he came back to the Lord, and the Lord said, say this. And eventually, God released the children of Israel out of Egypt through what? Through Moses' ability? No. Through his ability to negotiate? No. God did a miracle. God did actually a series of miracles. And I believe that Joshua had learned what? That whatever God was behind, whatever God's intention was, whatever God's will was, if we would just do our part and cooperate with God, God would do his part. So I believe that was what was behind Joshua. He knew the word of God. It was God's will for them to get out of the wilderness and get into that good land. And he knew if that was God's will, that God himself would do whatever was necessary to back up that intention that God had. So let's cover the second point about Joshua. And that is that Joshua had a prayer life. Not just that he could say a little prayer here and there, or before he went to bed, or in the morning he had a little 5-minute time with the Lord, or on Sundays he had a little half-hour time. But I believe Joshua had a prayer life. And that is, he knew, number one, how to bring himself into God's presence. It's interesting, in the book of Hebrews, and one of these times we'll get into the book of Hebrews, but in the 10th chapter there, it says something like, we have boldness because of the blood of Jesus to enter into the Holy of Holies. And that means what? Because of what Jesus did on Calvary, you and I have the boldness, we have the right to come right into God's presence. And I believe Joshua had learned from Moses how to have an intimate relationship with God himself. Some of us, when we pray, it's like we just kind of put our Santa Claus wish list out, like, Lord, bless this and take care of this. But when we pray, we need to spend a little bit of time and bring ourselves into God's presence. And once we get into God's presence, we need to find out what's on God's heart. What's on God's mind? What is God's will? And then, listen, according to that intention, according to God's will, then we need to pray. And listen, when you pray according to God's will, you pray according to God's intention, God does all kinds of things. And Joshua, I believe, was such a person that knew how to pray. He knew how to deal with God. When problems came up, when negative situations came up, Joshua knew how to pray, and he had a prayer life. He knew how to deal with God. He knew how to listen to God. He knew how to get God's burden, how to get God's feeling, and even to enter into God himself in that prayer. So Joshua was a person that had a prayer life. Now let's cover the next point. And that is that Joshua knew how to follow God, and he knew how to obey God. It's interesting that he must have learned from Moses something, a principle. And that is, Moses in his natural really didn't have the ability to negotiate with Pharaoh to release the children of Israel out of Egypt. But by cooperating with God, by obeying God, by doing what God wanted to do, what God wanted to say, Moses was able to release the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses did his part, and God performed the miracles in his end. Now, the same with Joshua. Joshua must have learned that principle from Moses, that if Joshua was really going to bring the children of Israel into that good land, he needed to do one thing. And that is, he needed to have a kind of relationship with God where whatever God spoke, whatever God wanted to do, he was ready and willing to do the very thing that God wanted to do. Now it's interesting that Joshua was out one time and must have been by himself, and he met a man. And Joshua asked the man, "Who are you? And are you for us or are you against us?" And this person said, "No." Now that's not the right answer to that question. You know, are you for us or against us? But the person said no. This person was representing God. It was an angel of the Lord, it was the Lord himself, I'm not sure. And basically, the person says, "No, I am the captain of the hosts of the Lord." In other words, the representative of God, or God himself, was saying, "Joshua, I'm not for you and I'm not against you, but I have come to take over." And in your life and in my life, we need to recognize a principle. And that is, as long as we're doing something on our own, taking the lead ourselves, doing even what we think is the best way to do things, the best way naturally speaking, it will never work. Eventually, we have to come with such a dealing or such an experience like Joshua had, where he came to the point and he realized that Joshua was not the head. Joshua was not the boss. No, the Lord himself wanted to be the captain over this host going into the good land. So Joshua was a person that knew how to fully, wholly follow the Lord. And I believe this is really a principle in our life. And that is what? God may put us in an environment. God may put us in a situation which to us, naturally speaking, seems impossible. For instance, Joshua came up against a walled city. And there was no way naturally to get through that situation. And God many times allows you and I to get into those kind of situations where there's just no way. And if we look at the environment, we say there's no way. Then we look at ourselves, we say there's no resources, there's no possibility. But listen, Joshua had learned from Moses one thing, and that is this. If God said to do something, do it. You know why? Because God himself will back it up. Who knows what God could do? Joshua was instructed by God to march around, and this seems crazy, to march around that city seven times, seven consecutive days. And on the seventh day, God did something. Now you think, the first day they did it, they thought, this must be crazy. Here we are, we're warriors, and we're coming in here to take this city. And God says, march around it and blow the trumpet. And they do it the second day, and nothing happens. They do it the third day, and nothing happens. They do it the fifth day, the sixth day. Finally, the seventh day, something happens. God said, okay, Joshua, you did what I told you to do. Now I'm going to do something. And God did something. He caused those walls to collapse. Listen, God can do something in your environment and in my environment if we would do just one thing, and that is obey the voice of the Lord. So Joshua had learned one thing, and that is what? Whatever God spoke, just do it. Now I'd like to give another example from the Old Testament, and that is the story of a king who had leprosy. And he asked the prophet, or sent a messenger off to the prophet of God, because he wanted to get healed of the leprosy. And the prophet didn't come himself, but sent a messenger or a servant or something. And the message came back that the king should go and dip himself seven times in what? In the River Jordan. Now the king thought, was actually quite disturbed by this. Number one, the prophet didn't come himself. And the king, being the king, thought, well, you know, I'm a high official here, and that prophet should come and speak to me directly. That was the first thing that bothered him. But the prophet didn't do that. The prophet did what the Lord was doing, and that is to send a servant. Secondly, he says, why do I have to dip in the River Jordan? Aren't the rivers in my land good enough? I mean, they're beautiful. Why do I have to go to the Jordan River? And thirdly, he complained, why do I have to dip seven times? And it was almost like, why would God tell me to do something so ridiculous? First of all, the prophet doesn't come. I mean, the prophet could have come and just healed me directly. But no, God wanted me to do what? To go to another river in a different land, which means I have to take a journey. And then I have to get into that river, and I have to baptize myself. Or why the River Jordan? But listen, eventually, this king did it. He took the journey to the river. He dipped himself one time, two times, three times. Nothing happened. It's almost like, this is ridiculous. Why am I doing this? Then he did it five times, six times. Finally, on the seventh time, God healed him. Why? Not because he had asked for a healing. Not because God wanted to heal him, but for one reason, and that is he obeyed the very thing that God wanted him to do. And for you and I to be a Joshua, to live in the principle of Joshua, we need to learn to do that one thing, and that is obey the voice of the Lord. In the New Testament, there's a verse that says that the God gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey him. Sometimes we wonder why in our Christian life there's not a fullness of the Spirit. It's like, yeah, I know God's out there and God helps me and God blesses me, but it's like there's something missing. It's like there's more fullness for my life. What is that fullness that's missing? Well, sometimes it's only because of one thing, and that is we are not up to date with the Lord. We're not obeying the Lord. The Lord has spoken to us about something. Or we know from reading the Word what? We know some principles in the Word that we should be following, and we're not following those principles. Listen, God wants Joshuas in this generation. God wants you and I to be a Joshua. That means what? He wants us to know the Word of the Lord. And number two, he wants us to have a real prayer life, where we really bring ourselves into the presence of God. And thirdly, he wants us to do what? Just outright obey the Lord. When you read Joshua, and I hope you have time to read a little bit about Joshua, you'll find out that Joshua was a person, he found out what God's will was. And he knew in his generation, in his time, he knew the very thing that was on God's heart, the very thing that God wanted to do. And he was determined to follow God no matter what it meant, no matter what the cost, and do that very thing. And guess what? God accomplished through him kind of a miracle. And that is, he brought all those people into the good land. One more point that we want to cover, and that is, and you may kind of wonder why I'm covering this point, but the point is this: don't criticize Joshua or other people who are Joshuas. You do have the example, maybe not so much with Joshua, but with Moses. Some of the leaders, even of the tribes there, they criticize Moses. And most of the ones that criticized Moses and kind of had a negative report, all of them did not make it into that good land. That means the very thing that was God's promise, that was God's will, they didn't make it because of one thing, and that was criticism. I know it's very common for you and I to look at other people, other Christians, even other ministries, and we have a little bit of criticism in our heart. But that criticism can keep you and me from what? Inheriting today in our generation what God wants to do in our life. So that's just a little point about that. Now, I want to read a verse to you out of here, and I hope you can follow along with me here. And that is, God was speaking to Joshua, and God said this: every spot on which your foot treads, I have given you. And it was almost like a blanket promise. God said that, Joshua, wherever you go in that land, wherever you put your foot down, that place I have given you. And listen, God has put you and I in a lot of different kinds of environments. And some environments are easy, some environments are hard, and a lot of times we try to get out of those environments. But listen, God sometimes allows us into hard environments for one reason. God wants us to put our foot down. God wants us to bring God into that environment. A lot of times we try to get rid of it. It may be a problem with a husband or wife or a son or a daughter or a situation at work or a financial situation. And a lot of times we're trying to find a way to get out of the environment, to get out of the situation. But listen, God sometimes puts us in those environments for us to do one thing, and that is to bring God into that environment. Sometimes God will do a miracle. Sometimes God won't do a miracle. For instance, in the New Testament, we have the example of the Apostle Paul. And at one point, God, because of maybe a little problem with pride that Paul was having, God allowed a messenger of Satan to give him some problems. And Paul prayed three times specifically, "Lord, please remove this thorn, remove this problem, remove this environment." And the answer came back from God this way, "My grace is sufficient for you." So let's just review just a little bit concerning the points that we covered today on Joshua. Number one, Joshua was a person that knew God's Word. And it's interesting, in the book of Timothy, there's a phrase there that says that all Scripture is inspired by God. And some translations say breathed by God. And also, Timothy was a person that from a child, he knew the Holy Scriptures. So the first point about Joshua was that he knew what? God's Word. Second point is that Joshua had a prayer life, a prayer relationship with God. He knew how to pray. He knew how to bring himself into God's presence. It's interesting that Jesus, when he was talking about prayer, said this, that if you have faith, just a little bit of faith, like a grain of mustard seed, because mustard seed is a real small seed. If you just have a little bit of faith and you pray, "Hey mountain, go away," that mountain will move. Now a mountain, naturally speaking, is very difficult to do anything about. But when we have just a little bit of faith, Jesus says, and we pray, God can do a lot of things. So Joshua had a prayer life. And thirdly, and I think this is the most important point, Joshua, knowing God's Word and having a prayer life, he followed the Lord fully. Whatever the Lord spoke, he did. He knew, he learned from Moses the principle, what? That if you want to do something for God, if you want to follow God, you need to do the very thing that God wants you to do. Don't do anything else. Don't do anything extra. Don't do anything less. Just obey the voice of the Lord. And fourthly, we said this, don't criticize the people that God has put in your life and in my life who are Joshua's, who have gone before like Moses has gone before. Okay, so I hope with these four points you've learned something and maybe gained some appreciation of Joshua. And I would like to encourage you to write to me and request a free set of outlines on this message on Joshua. You can write to me at Drew Hanniger, Post Office Box 12124, Scottsdale, Arizona 85267.